This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Quarterback joins us every single Friday, courtesy of Crane Works. He's with us now. JP, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Not a whole lot. Just having a cup of coffee, enjoying this nice Friday morning. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Beautiful day here at Ernest McCarty Ford as we get ready for City Fest down here in Alabaster. I want to ask you, we're going to start where we don't normally start with you in the NBA. I assume you, like everyone else, saw J.R. Smith's gaffe last night. Look, that guy's a pro. He's been playing forever. This would be like a college freshman mistake, but how difficult is it to be in the moment, in the game, and not know the score or the time or timeouts or situations like that? I mean, we think it's so easy to know it. I mean, you've got to know the score at least, right?
Yeah, you have to. And, you know, like you said, it's kind of a freshman mistake that comes with experience. And one of the things you have to know going out on the court or the field or whatever, wherever you're going, is the situation in the game. You know, I can remember as a player, that was one of the things, you know, the coaches would always come over and talk to us about is, okay, here's the situation. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. You can't take a sack. You can't do this. And basketball is no different. You have to know what's going on at all times. I mean, and that goes back to, you know, middle school basketball is knowing the time on the clock, knowing how many timeouts you have. All these things just go into being a professional basketball player. And you would think that that's one of the main things on top of your mind is situational awareness of what's going on.
All right, so when you were quarterbacking at Alabama or when you and Matt Ryan and the Falcons were on the road, walk me through what you did in that walkthrough the first time in a stadium. I mean, in the pros, you get used to playing in certain stadiums. There's some you play in every single year on the road, but in college football, you might have only played one game in an SEC stadium. What process did you use to familiarize yourself with the play clocks, the scoreboards, and all that?
So we would always – the first thing is always find out where the play clock is. So, you know, the 25-second clock of where it's running down so you don't get a delay game. You know where the first down markers are at, you know, on the scoreboard. So everybody's boards are different, so you kind of know where that's at. And one of the things we did was just get used to the stadium. So we would go and we would throw really red zone passes. So we know the depth perception from the sidelines or the back lines to where the stands are at. That was one of the things we did in every stadium from college to the pros. So just knowing the stadium. Now, when you play in the same stadiums over and over, you kind of get used to it. But for a new stadium like that, you go and you just know where everything's at. You take time. So you get there early and you just do your research on knowing where everything's at in the entire stadium. There's no surprises when the game happens.
John Parker Wilson's with us on this Friday, brought to us by Crane Works. We're on the road today in Alabaster down here at Ernest McCarty Ford getting ready for City Fest. The SEC football meetings and sports meetings are wrapping up down in Destin today, John Parker. And one of the big storylines coming out of there was Nick Saban's comments, of course, about grad transfers or transfers within the SEC. Inside the locker room, and you've been there, you get a guy that maybe starts talking about transferring out. How hard is it to let him back inside the circle if he decides on staying at that point? And once you see a guy who considers walking away from the team, is there a little fracture with him within the team concept? Or if, say, a Brandon Kennedy decide to stay, though I doubt that's likely, is that somebody you could welcome back into the fold?
So, yeah, I think so. I think as we are going down this path of transferring and it's becoming just more and more acceptable, I think everybody knows that a player has a lot going on and you don't know what his situation is, so you try not to do anything except help him. And if he's with us in the locker room, we're going to try to do everything we can to support him. And that's, I think that kind of goes back to the fabric of being in the locker room and a football player. It's tough. Look, there's a lot of things going on, and we have no idea what's happening. And when he's there, you try to support him. And then once he's gone, though, that's a different story. But I think when the guys are there in the locker room, you might say some things you don't want to say or you might regret. And there's a million different situations. But if you're there in the team, you're getting supported. You're getting loved on. The coaches are coming up and trying to keep you to stay. But as today and the age that we're playing in college football now, it's becoming more and more likely. So this is becoming, something that they have to deal with every day. People are going to talk about transferring, asking their buddies, hey, what do you think I should do that? Because, you know, who these players are getting their advice from, the guys in the locker room is probably a pretty big source of their advice.
It's difficult. I've always been told it is the transfers have a difficult time. Like a lot of times back when you were playing, I hate to say it that way, John Parker, but back when you were playing, it was primarily JUCO guys. The graduate transfer wasn't as prevalent then. How difficult is that when a guy transfers in, he hasn't invested the time that the upperclassmen have, he comes in as a senior. How difficult is that in the locker room for that guy to mesh in and become a part of the team?
You know, I think it's, at the end of the day, it's all about winning games. And, you know, if you get a new guy in the locker room and he can help you win, you're all for it. So you, put your arms around him and, hey, let's go to work. So I think if the coaches, and from a player standpoint, you look at it, it doesn't matter who's there, or who you're playing with. You're just trying to go out there and do your job. And if the coaches think a new guy is good enough to come in and help us out, then, you know, who are we to say that he's not the guy to help us out? So I think as a player, it's kind of that you have blinders on and you're not worried about who's transferring, who's not transferring. Okay, did Auburn get a new transfer or did Tennessee get a new transfer? You just kind of keep your head down. You go to class in the morning. You go to practice in the afternoon. As a player, we don't read a lot of stuff. You don't really know what's going on outside of what's just happening in the building. So you're kind of in a bubble as a player. You show up. You play with who's in the meeting room. And if some guy transfers, you might not even know a guy's transferring until you get to the meeting room one day and his seat's empty. And you ask coach, hey, what happened to so-and-so? And coach would say, you know, he transferred. He went to Ole Miss or wherever.
Wow.
That's kind of the bubble that we live in.
John Parker Wilson, before you get out of here, we're about to talk about the coach or coaches in college football that has the most to prove this upcoming season. And I'm not talking necessarily hot seat. Not somebody who may get fired. That could factor in. But just a coach in your mind in college football that sort of needs to prove something this season. Who would first pop to mind? When I say that, who pops to mind instantly for you?
Have you already talked about this? Who is y'all's pick while I formulate who I'm going to say who needs to prove
there? Well, you know, obviously in the SEC, I don't know if you put Ed Orgeron on the hot seat, but that's obvious. But when I jump around the country, to me, Kevin Sumlin is a guy that I think he's in a situation now at Arizona where it did not go as well as I thought it should have gone at Texas A&M. He's not on the hot seat. He's in his first year. But I think Kevin Sumlin has something to prove to me at this level of college football, now in what looks to be a tougher job than the one he had at Texas A&M. So I want to see what Kevin Sumlin can do this year, next couple of years, with that new opportunity at Arizona. So not necessarily a hot seat situation, though that can be. But we're just looking for somebody that has something to prove this year in your mind.
So I think Kevin Sumlin was a great coach at Texas A&M. Pretty excited to see what he does at Arizona. But Orgeron was the first one that did pop in my mind, and I think that would be a hot seat of his situation and what he has going on at LSU and kind of the traditions that they have and their expectations they have every year. But I think Dan Mullen at Florida has a lot of expectations coming up. You know, he coached at Florida. He was very successful at Mississippi State. And taking over a Florida program that we know the history that they have of recruiting, so he needs to keep those recruits there. And start winning some ball games, because I know those Gator fans are looking at seeing what's going on in their own division and seeing the success that Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs have had. So they're getting restless there in Florida. You saw how restless they were with what happened with Coach McElwain. Now they're getting one of their own guys in there. It'll be interesting to see what happens, and I think he's got to win quick. I really do, down there at Florida with all the expectations they have for him coming back home.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's going to win pretty quick. He is John Parker Wilson. He is the quarterback of the Alabama Crimson Tide, and he joins us every single week on the Jocks Roundtable, courtesy of Craneworks.
Definitely love the guys at Craneworks. And for all you guys out there that operate your own cranes, Craneworks has a large fleet of carry decks, boom trucks, and rough terrain cranes, including rough terrain cranes up to 130 tons. Now, that's a big dog. And don't miss your chance to run with Steve and Dave Upton and the Big Dog in the 16th annual Big Dog Poker Motorcycle Ride, benefiting the Go Build Alabama Scholarship Fund. Register at craneworks.com. Go check them out. It's a fun day, and they'll raise a lot of money for that scholarship fund.
John Parker, thank you, brother. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, guys. Well done.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. John Parker Wilson with us each week, courtesy of Crane Works, and we appreciate them bringing you John Parker Wilson. Rob Pate coming up at 8 o'clock, and both those guys, as well as Verno at 9, appear on the Mick Ultra Pure Gold Hotline.
City Fest tomorrow at the brand-new Thompson High School in Alabaster. It is free to the public. It's a great day to come out and be with your community and celebrate what is an unbelievable arts and craft festival with a lot of music, including Delta Ray at 5:30, Gin Blossoms and 38 Special on the main stage. We'll give away another VIP package giveaway later on. Had a winner in the first 6 o'clock hour. We'll do it again in the 7, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock hours throughout the morning on the Jocks Roundtable. When we come back, though, Saturday Down South gives us 5 coaches that have something to prove this upcoming season. We'll add to or subtract from the list. I gave you Kevin Sumlin. You see what I'm saying there?
I do, and I've got one, yeah. It's okay. Kind of the same situation as Sumlin. A lot of similarities.
And you can jump in as well, as always, 834-9450, 800-239-WJOX. It's the Jocks Roundtable.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama!
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.